Welcome back to Proverbs 30. This is the B-side on Through the Word. Now, the audio here was edited out as we were discussing verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Powerful verse on the flawlessness of God's word, and a humbling verse about how we approach the Bible. Now we'll jump back in with Ryan McCarter and Jonathan Ferguson in the midst of that discussion as we move forward to verse 6 to consider how we present the Bible and how we teach it. So here we go, back at verse 6. And verse 6 as a good follow-up here. It's part of the same saying, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Now, this is a good challenge for any Bible teacher. Jonathan, I'm looking at you. So if he says, do not add to his words, and you stand up and read the Bible, and then you start talking about it, are you adding to God's word?
Well, if we were, I think every preacher for the last 2,000 years is going to be in serious trouble.
And what if we are?
We're not. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Well, we'll say this. Most preachers over the last 2,000 years are not going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think now, there's some danger for some.
Yes, there's some danger for some of them out there. But no, there's a big difference in how you present the Word of God and your own Word. So when I'm teaching, I make sure it's very clear. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, and this is the Bible. And then what does that mean? I can explain it, I can give interpretation, I can give application, but I make a very clear distinction when I'm teaching on what's me and what's the Bible. Mm-hmm. I don't personally preach from an iPad or anything. I have my notes all written out, but I have a Bible always. No matter what I'm teaching from, I have a Bible in my hand. So as I'm getting ready to read a verse, I'm not just still looking at my notes. I will pick up my Bible and make it very clear that I'm turning the page to this and say, this is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Then when I put it down and I'm teaching, it becomes more clear then that this is my explaining it, but that was the Bible.
Right. Your authority as a teacher comes from the authority of God, and it comes through the authority of Scripture.
Right.
That God's Word is flawless. And you make that clear to your audience, and I'll say clearly as I'm a Bible teacher and as everyone's listening now, that my Word is different from God's Word. But part of my job, my essential job really as a Bible teacher, is explaining with clarity what the Word of God expresses. And this is the essential element for the Bible teacher. Your job is not to teach something interesting, solid, great application, and then use the Word of God to back it up. That lacks authority, because you can find a scripture that'll back it up. But your calling is to teach the Word of God and use your words to explain it. The Word of God itself has the authority, and the Bible teacher comes and explains it at a level. That's what you see in Nehemiah 8 passage, where it says that the teachers were explaining it and making it clear, giving the sense so that people could understand. Understand what? Understand God's Word.
Right. You had Ezra reading the law, and then the people there, the Levites there that were then explaining it and making it clear. So there was this major distinction between this is the scroll that we have here. This is the Word of God. And then, hey, this is what it means for you two farmers over here. Or this is what it means for you merchants over here.
But the Word is the authority.
But the Word is the authority that backs up everything. That is the source of authority, source of all truth there.
Yeah. Well, let's move forward to verse. Jonathan, move us into verse 7.
All right. Verse 7. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Now, I love Augur's humility here. He admits to his own weaknesses, both his tendency to forget God when life is easy and his tendency to walk away when life is difficult. Now, because of these tendencies, Augur asks God for two things. Don't give me poverty. Don't give me riches. Now, why? You know, in times of ease, it's so easy to ignore God, especially when we have equated wealth with success. So we all know the phrases, he's doing well for himself, or this guy's a self-made man. You know, we both mean that they've accumulated some wealth for themselves. wealth can lead us into thinking that God is unnecessary, to think that he's okay with all of our choices because, hey, we're blessed, right? I mean, we've changed the meaning of that word blessed to if you have a big house and a big bank account yep. and a fast car, mm-hmm. you're blessed. That's not what the word meant in the Bible originally. Mm-hmm. But we've made it this way. So if we're doing okay, then it's like, hey, God's okay with me.
I think it's the difference between hashtag blessed and actual blessed.
Yes. Yes. But we use the hashtag blessed on everything. It's like, here's a picture of my breakfast. Blessed. Right. Here's a picture of me doing this fun thing at the beach. Blessed.
Should be like hashtag first century blessed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a big difference between first century blessed and 21st century blessed.
Absolutely.
So, but, you know, that's what can happen if we have too much wealth. But even when we struggle, if we're in poverty, it's easy then to assume that either God is not able to help us or that he's unwilling to do so. Mm-hmm. It's that classic thing, if there's evil in the world, you know, if there's a loving God, he's either not powerful enough or he really doesn't love us. And I think that applies here to this situation. People are like, well, I'm poor. Everything's going wrong for my life. Where's God? I'd say most of the counseling that I do involves that big question. If God really loves me, then why? Why is this happening? If God loves me, why am I losing my job? If God loves me, why is my husband or my wife acting this way? Mm. Why am I running out of money?
But at the heart of it, there's the call to just ask for your daily bread.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's time that we drop the idea that wealth is the indicator of godliness. There are wealthy people who honor God. There are poor people that can do so as well. But Augur knew his tendency was the tendency of most people, that wealth or poverty could lead him away from God. And so he simply asked for his daily bread. And it sounds familiar. Jesus says mm-hmm. that exact thing mm-hmm. in Matthew chapter 6. Give us this day our daily bread.
So we're going to wrap it up with that. We are out of time. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Ryan, for joining me here at the table. We will be back here with the women once again in Proverbs chapter 31.
Join us next time as we continue the journey. One chapter at a time. You can find this audio guide and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. The app is free and free to share. So tell your friends and take the journey together. Your listeners are supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word. After we do this through the Word, can we make something with these?
Can you make something with that bracelet? What would you make?
You can invent something with the things that are here.
That would be fun.
I feel like I can just draw it out.
You could draw it.
Okay. Ready?
Okay, you ready to record?
Mm-hmm.